I've been really desirous to teach this, to teach this this message to you, because you know, we've been on the series of glory, and I don't know, we might have spent 16 weeks talking about the glory of God. If any of you are interested in it, it's all but the last four are already uploaded. I'm waiting for our technician to get the last four up. He may get it done today. A lot of times he seems like he gets it done on Sunday. He works too, and he lives in North Carolina. So we put him up in a on an FTP site. He picks them up and puts them on up for us so that you can listen to them. But the Glory series, I believe, is a powerful, powerful series. And I don't want you to think we're leaving it. We've sown a lot of seed about the glory of God. And the people that have heard that have started to look for things. They've started to anticipate the manifestation of God, to expect it. God's going to manifest. But we discovered that God doesn't always manifest with fire and smoke and thunder. That's a good way. He can do that whenever He wants to. He can do that here right now if He wants to. If He wants to fill this place with smoke and put us all on the floor, that'd be okay, wouldn't it? We'd just accept that. But generally, we start looking too much for outward manifestation, or should we say spectacular, we miss oftentimes the supernatural that's taking place all the time. Answered prayers, wisdom, an understanding heart to make the right decision. Those are glorious manifestations. Kim called me a while back about needing to talk to someone, and the person had some bad disappointments. And Kim just said, let's pray and believe, because I don't really know what to say to her. But the Holy Spirit just opened her mouth and began to give her the right words. And then God began to move in behalf of the person and brought victory in an area that, not full victory, but victory. And it's moving. It's moving. Well, that's glory, isn't it? That's glory. And those are things that we look for. Well, as we've talked about it, you know, I have a desire for the glory, so I don't want you to leave what we've talked about. You know, sometimes we do that with series, don't we? We get over in this area and we just forget all about what we learned. But we're still talking about it. And actually, I'm going to begin talking with you today about the grace of God. Because I believe the grace of God has been maligned. I really do. I believe the grace of God has been maligned. It's brought in place of. We take grace in place of obedience sometimes, don't we? And God never intended that His grace was to substitute for obedience as a practice of life. It had to happen for us because we were all sinners. Because we had all broken the law, and there was no reestablishing the law of God, was there? We couldn't ever. It's just like if you break a piece of fine china. I don't care how good your glue is. Right? Still broken. Well, so is God's law. And God's law is perfect. I will give you just a little bit more Hebrew. Say Torah. Torah. That is the Torah. T-O-R-A-H. It's Torah. The accent technically is on the ah. Torah. And the Torah of God has been called by most Western Christians, His law. Part of the reason for that is that when it went into the Greek word for Torah was nomos. Now, nomos technically doesn't mean law either. But that was an easy way for him to remember. So it went from Greek to English. It suddenly just became the law. But really, Torah in Hebrew, and every Hebrew who studies it knows that it doesn't mean law, but it means, say it loud, teaching and instruction. Teaching and instruction. Well, can you imagine saying the teaching and instruction of God has passed away? Can anybody imagine saying that? And yet I hear people all the time say, the law has passed away. And I'll ask you today, and you're welcome in this church to talk back. You can speak out loud. I've got a microphone over here. If any of you have a word to bring forth as we're talking today, you'll know the appropriate time. The Holy Spirit will show you. You can bring it in, and I'll hand you the microphone. We do that here. It's okay. I just want to be sure that anybody that's listening by CD can get the benefit of what you have to bring forth. In fact, we say around here, don't rob the body by your silence. Sometimes Christians do that. They'll get something, and I have people tell me, you know, I had something today, but I didn't bring it forth. Well, you know, I want to lay hands on them. Like that. Because, you know, in fact, to tell me after the fact is just telling me that you robbed the body of something God had for us. So if God gives you something, we want you to bring it out. I believe the early church operated like this. I doubt that it sat in rows like we do. And someday, you know, maybe we'll grow to the place where we can actually gather around, and one will come with a psalm, and another with a hymn, and another with a word of knowledge, and another with a word of wisdom, and a prophecy, and somebody with a teaching. I believe we should have those. You see, in the Jewish church, everybody was taught in the Word. Do you understand that a young Jewish boy often knew and could quote most of the Old Testament? I'm telling you, it's different. We think we do good because we got the 91st Psalm down by memory, don't we? We think we do good because we can quote portions. They quote books. And they did have, in a lot of ways, a better understanding of the Word just by exposure. Now, what they didn't have was revelation in the Word. We've got more revelation today, but we still need more of the Word. So I'm going to ask you now, did the law pass away? Part of it did. Can anybody tell me what part of the law has been done away? That's right. See, if you read in Romans chapter 8, it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let me ask you, part of the law says that you shall not move your neighbor's boundary marker. That's part of the commandments. How many think that passed away? Well, I can tell you the district court judge doesn't believe it. I don't think. No, it hasn't passed away. There's a portion of the law that says that you shall not mistreat a blind person or put a trap in his way. How many of you think that passed away? No. Still makes sense, doesn't it? There's a part of the law that says take care of the widow and the orphan. It says be nice to strangers. It said, remember, you used to be strangers in Egypt. That's part of Torah. Well, see, we know that didn't pass away. So what part is the law of sin and death? What part is it? It's the sacrificial system, don't you see? It's the part where you used to have to bring animals and offer them on altars so that their blood could not take away sin, but atone for. What was the atonement? The atonement was a covering. That's still what it means, atonement. The kapora in Hebrew, to cover. What did Jesus do different than that? Well, He, once for all, we used to offer these daily. Some of the sacrifices were offered twice a day. Then there, of course, was the Yom Kippur day that we'll be coming to. We're going to be teaching about that come fall here, September. We'll be teaching about Yom Kippur. First, we'll have Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets speaks of the time of the gathering of the saints. It prophetically talks of that time which most of the church calls the rapture. Yom Kippur, I personally believe that'll be the time of year Jesus comes. Somebody said, no man knows the day nor the hour, but boy, I know the season. Amen. Then we're going to have Yom Kippur. Kippur is Kippurah again, and that's that Hebrew word, Kippur, or atonement. But when Yeshua came and became our atonement, He did something more. Because He fulfilled not only the blood sacrifice for sin, but the taking away of the curse into the wilderness as the scapegoat. It was done once for all. We've been delivered from the law of sin and death. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. Amen? So as we talk about this, as we think about these things, and we know that the word grace is in the Old Testament. How many of you know that? By the way, around here I really prefer not to call it Old Testament and New Testament. It's just that most people don't have any idea what you're talking about if you just say the Tanakh and the Renewed Covenant. But that's what I believe. But this particular Bible that I use is a complete Jewish Bible, has no separation. And I don't believe there should be. I don't believe there should be any place that says New Testament. It's all one Torah. From Genesis to Revelation, it's God's Torah. Let me just help you a little bit more here. Is everything in this book the Word of God? Now think carefully before you say it. Is everything in this book the Word of God? What part might not be the Word of God, Matthew?
That which is the Word of man.
There are words of man in this book, aren't there? I remember a man, I believe his name was Hilkiah, that came to Jeremiah one time. And Jeremiah had prophesied that the children of Israel were going into captivity for 70 years. And Hilkiah came out, and I may not have his name right, so if you go looking for him and you don't find it, just know it was some other ayah. Maybe not Hilkiah, but I think it was Hilkiah. But he came along and he said, no, you got it wrong. Thus saith the Lord, you'll not go into captivity for 70 years, but for 2 years. Well, Jeremiah was wise enough, since he said, thus saith the Lord, he didn't say, wait a second, you got it wrong and I had it right. He stopped for a second and he said, okay, all right. And if that word comes true, then we'll know that's the word that the Lord has spoken. But if that word doesn't come to pass, then we'll know that you're a false prophet. Well, obviously, they spent 70 years in Babylon, didn't they? That man didn't. He died. Hilkiah died for his false words. Let me give you another one. We sang his words this morning, but Jonathan did a really good job of explaining. There's a place in the Bible that says, He gives and He takes away. Is that the Word of God? Who said it? Who?
Job.
Now, you know, Job is one of the most interesting books in the Bible because we find out that Job tells you right at the beginning of his troubles what happened to him. Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." So, Hannah, what was the problem for Job? What was his problem? Sure you do. What was it? It was fear. Fear. Job allowed fear, and if you followed his pattern of life, he was offering sacrifices to his children out of fear, lest they sin, lest they blaspheme. He was afraid. There's an enemy that is attracted to fear. Right? I know I'm going way around the mountain today, but I'm trying to build some foundation, and I purposely don't want this beginning of messages on grace to be too structured, because sometimes my structure leaves some stuff out. So I want to build this. What Job said later on after he lost everything, you remember after everything was taken away? He lost all his children, lost his land, lost his houses. Lost his wealth, his cattle, all of it was gone. Job said, his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job said, The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I have to, you know, give him credit for blessing God's name, but he was wrong. The Lord didn't take away. I just read a couple chapters earlier who took away. Who took away?
Satan
took away. Job was wrong. And if you read the end of Job, and you know it's amazing how many people never have really read it with understanding. Job makes a statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Job says, when a man doesn't know what he's talking about, he should keep his mouth shut. And he's talking about himself. See, he had been blaming God and justifying himself. All through the book, he would tell how he was just and how he had tried to do everything right. But you know what? He had missed something, hadn't he? He had missed that Job had left the door open. Job left the door open, and the enemy got through it. So everything in this book is not the Word of God. Some of it is, as Matthew said, words of men. And words of men can be wrong, and most time they get some kind of correction for making wrong words, don't they? Do you remember Peter? Peter said, Lord, you're not going to die. Far be it from you that you should go and die. What did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan. Well, we know he was talking about his words. So those words did not come from God. They're not the Word of God. Does this book perfectly contain the Word of God? Yes, it does. But I want you to be careful about that. Now, what Jonathan did this morning, and by the way, Aaron wrote some new words to that song, some new parts, and he gives, it says, he gives me his love today. He took my sin away. He goes through a whole bunch of things that he did on that. And it's really kind of a neat addition to the song. I like that. But we sing that, and sometimes I think people are going to that same old, same old. That you just never know what God's going to do. How many of you have ever heard that? I tell you, you just never know what God's going to do. Well, if you don't, it's because you haven't looked. Because he tells us what he's going to do, doesn't he? God tells us what he's going to do. And the problem is that many things that the devil's been doing, people have been blaming on sovereignty. Now, sovereignty is not a bad word, but it's been used like a cuss word. Right? And so, when we're talking about these things, I want you to understand the basis of what we're talking about. We're going to begin to talking now about grace. Grace. In Hebrew, grace is chen. We would kind of transliterate it C-H-E-N. Chen. And you can't say chen, you got to say chen. Because it doesn't start with a hey, it starts with a chet. A different letter. And in Hebrew and in German, you know they get back in the back of their throat and they talk, right? And that's the way you got to do it. A little spits in order when you're speaking Hebrew. Right? Chen. Now, the other word that you see coming out is Hanan. Hanan. Interestingly enough, the man that we call the beloved apostle is Yohanan. Yohanan speaks of God's grace. Yo, in that particular case, I believe, comes from the shortened form of Yah. Yohanan, God's grace. So that's what that word John means, if anybody named John around here, Yohanan. And that's a neat name, isn't it? Well, in the once we get over into the Greek, what is grace? Somebody tell me what grace is in the Greek. Somebody better help me, because I can't think right now. Well, it's unmerited. In fact, that's what we most often call it. I'm trying to think of the Greek word for grace, and it ought to be just right on the tip of my tongue, but it's not right now. I'll get it. It'll come back. I tell Minnie, by the way, for those of you that haven't met my mother-in-law, this is Minnie Kirksick. Minnie's 91, and I have to run to keep up with her most of the time, because she can... You watch her sometime when she gets out of the car and takes off. I keep telling her, no hurry, slow down. But boy, she goes to town. We keep telling her that she's on the right track. It's with long life. God said He'll satisfy us and show us His salvation. But I want to talk, as we talk about grace, I want to talk to start about the body. Because I think a lot of times for you to have an understanding of what grace means, first we'll say that grace is unmerited favor. That's part of what it is, but it's not the whole picture of what grace is. That's what we have said. It's the unmerited favor. And then some people get the attitude, well, if I can't merit it, why try? Have you ever known that kind of attitude come up? If I can't merit or earn something, then why try? But that leaves out obedience, doesn't it? Obedience is important too, isn't it? In fact, we like to say this: there's absolutely nothing that you can do about your salvation but receive it by grace through trusting and believing that. That's the only way you can be saved. You cannot do anything to earn it. Nothing, absolutely nothing you can do can either earn it, nor can it add to it. Right? You can't make it better. But on the other hand, Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created us for good works. Good works. We're supposed to be doing good works. You should be doing just like Jesus. Isn't that what He said? The servant and the master, you remember He said the servant's not better, but the things he sees the master do, that's what he's supposed to do. And the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we should be doing good works. Everything Jesus did, how many agree with this, was good. He didn't do sin, He did good. And so we should be doing the same thing. Now, that's the one side of grace that we're talking about, so that you have the grace that you need when you couldn't do right, you sinned and fell short of the glory of God. God's grace was manifested unto you. Say, unto me. What I want to talk to you about is going a bit further than the unto, where we talk about the into, the grace of God in us. And that's the grace we were singing about today, because we know, that a bunch of Christians know, that His grace was enough to save us, right? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking now of the further work of grace, and that is the grace that enables. It'll make you strong. How many of you have ever listened to Keith Moore? Any of you know who Keith Moore is? You know, I would strongly recommend that you look him up on the internet, morelife.org. More, it's M-O-O-R-E. Moore is his name, Keith Moore. Morelife.org. And he has, just like we do, he just gives free downloads of all of his teachings. I would strongly recommend that you listen to guys like this. This man, if you happen to like a little Southern in your teaching, you'll really like his. I like him. I like Andrew Womack. How many of you have listened to Andrew Womack lately? Andrew's been talking about praying in the Spirit. We need to stress it. There's so many things we need to stress. Been talking about praying in the Spirit and what comes of it, and he sees it as he ministers. Well, I've seen that for years. Oftentimes, I don't give a message in tongues, but I'll pray in tongues during the week, and I'm aware that when I minister, I'm getting the move of God from that tongues that I've been praying. People don't do it enough. That's why Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. We shouldn't be satisfied if we haven't moved on into that work. That's a part of the grace of God. Amen. But it's also part of the glory. Do you see that the grace of God will enable us to move more in the glory of God? Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, we're just going to spend just a... I've actually got three portions of Scripture that I want to talk to you about quickly here this morning. And this is the way we're going to begin this teaching on grace. Grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Grace. God's grace. Grace that's greater than all my sin. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Amen? That's what we think about mostly. But then there's the grace that we're talking about here that causes us to be what we're called to be. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members. I want you to say, many members. It's a body. Right now this is talking about a physical body. As the physical body is one and hath many members. How many of you can name some of the members of your body? Eye, ear, nose, and throat, right? Head and shoulders, knees and toes, right? We can go through things like that, can't we? What was that? Head? No, I can't remember those old names. That's all right. They're not edifying anyhow. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Messiah, so also is Christ. I don't know if you ever just stop and think about your body, but you know, it is one. It is one. You know how you can tell that your body's one? Now, you know, there are maladies and sicknesses that come on where people lose sensation and feeling. But if you've ever wrapped your little toe around the leg of the bed, have you ever done that? Not intentionally, right? Yeah, you just happen to stub your toe. How many of you know that your body gets involved? Doesn't it? Your whole body. The other leg starts taking over, right? And it can't take over without doing this. Oh, 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 your mouth's in now. Oh, oh, and your hands, and the tears start running down your cheeks. The whole body's one, isn't it? Everybody, every nerve is active when that little toe gets smacked. Well, that's something we need to start realizing about our relationship within the body of Messiah, the body of Christ. And I really believe we're just not quite there. We haven't quite got it yet where we really realize that we're really connected. We like to use a Hebrew word around here, call everybody mishpachah. The mishpachah. And by the way, just for your information, I send out a weekly email. And if any of you are not receiving it and would like to, all you need to do is get me an email address and say, please put me on the weekly email. And for some reason, I know the Lord told me to do it, and for some reason, I believe it's really helped some people. I really believe this has been a helpful teaching. It usually is done within a page. It's not long. Most men can't read more than about 2 minutes at a time, so I try to keep it geared for men. Women can read all day, but most men don't do that, you know. We read little mini books and stuff like that. But we're all one body, and mishpachah is that word for family. For family. And it really, it kind of spells it out. We're one family. We're hooked together. We've got a closeness about us that's almost unexplainable. But it couldn't be done except by Jesus. The body is one, and so also is Messiah. His body is one. Now as we look on down to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, we read that, but now hath God set the members, say the members. The members. All right, now you're a member. Everybody here, we've got members in our body, but we are members in the body of Christ. Every one of us now are members in the body of Christ. Well, what happens if one of the members of your body takes a vacation and doesn't tell anybody? Your body. Would you like that? How would you like to get up tomorrow morning and discover your foot had taken off for the day? You wouldn't care for that. Well, you see, now I know if we aren't careful about teaching this, that people could get into condemnation. We're not trying to do this. We're trying to get revelation about who we are. I'm not trying to put anybody down that doesn't see it yet. But boy, do I want everybody to get this. I want everybody to get this. What I was talking to you earlier about the whole body when we come together, how should it be? One of you has a song. One of you has a teaching. One of you has an exhortation. See, there's different things that each of us could be doing. Just as our body, physical body, is taking care of things. Not just taking care of what we do, but coordinating. When my feet walk, my hands coordinate and add balance, right? They do it, don't they? It works that way. And so that's what we like. We want that kind of thing. When I go out in the bright sun, my eyes aren't left to themselves. My eyelids will squint. And it helps, right? It really works. We've got things that do that. We've got stuff inside and we've got stuff outside that's all working together to keep us functioning. And so it is with the body of Messiah. If they were all one member, verse 19 says, where were the body? Well, we've all heard those silly little things about if the whole body was an eyeball bouncing around, you know, and you see that. And, you know, sometimes that just, you know, it illustrates a point, but it's almost foolish to think about, and yet that's what it's saying. Now, the other thing about this is that in the body of Messiah, just as in your body, parts can't trade places. Can they? It doesn't work, does it? Can you imagine what it would be like if your arms and hands decided, you know, I'd like to be legs and feet? Well, you'd be walking around on your hands, but it wouldn't work as well, would it? It wouldn't work as well at all. Or somebody was saying the other day, if you were to take your fingers, and they want to be toes, and attach them to your foot, well, you'd really have an odd-looking body, wouldn't you? No, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, in the body of Messiah, in the body of Christ, you do find that people oftentimes begin to try to emulate someone. There's a danger in that, isn't there? We see someone that has a certain, and by the way, we're gonna say right now gifting, but I want you to remember grace. Gifts and grace are connected. Gifting, graces. So when we see somebody with a different grace, we say, oh man, I admire that. I like that. I like that. You know, I talked about Keith Moore. I like the way he preaches. And I grew up listening to Kenneth E. Hagin. I say grew up, I was 23 before I ever met him, but you know, that's really where I grew up, was listening to Brother Hagin. And you know, I could listen to the man preach. I never take a note, and I could just about go out and preach his sermons. I just about could do it. I could almost sound like that old West Texas kid, you know. He'd just get to talking, you know, and he'd say something like, when he was talking, he'd say, I'd rather listen to a donkey braying in a tin barn at midnight. He'd be preaching along and he'd stop and he'd say, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He used to walk like this when he'd preach. Hands like this. And he'd just take little steps. And I can remember sitting in services with him, and he'd come stand right beside you. Just stand right there for a second. You know, that keeps you awake. You don't go to sleep when the preacher does that kind of stuff. And a lot of kids that went to that Rhema Bible Training Center came home looking and sounding like Brother Hagin. Well, Brother Hagin was a prophet. He was a prophet. And so pretty soon, you know, we had a whole bunch of prophets coming out of Rhema. Now, I'm not saying some weren't, but I'm saying some weren't. Some were, but some weren't. Why is that? Well, we admire things about other things. And you know about the grass always looks greener on the other side. I know people in the body that think, oh man, if I could just preach. A lady came in when I was in the post office. I used to be postmaster and then worked for the post office a number of years and retired from the post office. But this lady came in one time and she was going to rip her pastor to me. She said, do you know how much they pay that man? And I said, no, and I don't want to know. And, you know, this is for 2 hours of work a week? Now, you can laugh at that, Debbie, because you have some insight. Not only does a pastor not work just 2 hours a week, but his whole household is involved. There's a whole lot that goes on that nobody ever sees. But you know what? I hear people say that. Man, I'd like to make a salary just for preaching. Could do that. Well, you see, there's a gift that goes there, and you know, if that gift is there, if God's giving you the grace for that, that's good. But you know, how many of you have ever been to a church you were pretty sure the pastor didn't have the grace to preach? Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, it happens all the time. And that's because people look at someone and they say, oh, I'd like to do it. I admire that gift. I'd like to do that. And I heard a story about a man. He had all kinds of ability to make money. Have you ever met anybody like that? They just have the ability to make money. They make more money not trying than most of us do working at it. People just make money. Money comes to them. And this guy knew that he was called of God. Say, called of God.
Called of God.
Look at my signs up on the beams up there. Read them out loud.
Every saint a minister.
How many saints do I have here today? Could I see the hands of the saints? Oh, you're a well-taught bunch. Bunch of saints here today. Saints aren't little plastic figures that sit on your dashboard in your car. They're not little statues that are around at different places in certain kinds of churches. Saints are believers in Jesus Christ. Those that have been born again. Every saint is a minister. Amen. I only got four passages today, but it's taken me a long time to preach through them. It says in verse 19, if they were all one member, where were the body? And you see, that's the danger here. People wanting to trade places and be something they're not called to be. This man made a lot of money. Man could make money easy, but when he started feeling the call of God in his life, he said, well, the only thing he knew in his churches, and some of you have come from churches like this, the only people that we know of that are ministers are either pastors, evangelists, or missionaries. How many of you have been around churches where those were the three ministries? The three main things that you saw. So if you were called of God, you immediately thought, I either have to be a pastor, I have to be an evangelist, or I have to be a missionary. And I've known people take all three places and you know, they really didn't belong there. Their grace wasn't there. Their gift wasn't there. But they end up doing those things, and many times they spend a lot of time being frustrated. What is there a place for somebody that just knows how to make money in the church, in the body? Big place. The Lord was talking. Yeah, what's the yeah? Lord was talking to me one day as I was walking through here, I was praying. And I quite often, you know, will stop and I'll say, North, give up. South, hold not back. To the east and the west, bring forth the sons and the daughters of God into God's house. Bring them forth unto us. Bring them forth, the ones that need to hear. Bring them forth into this place. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but I, you know how it is, it just rises up on the inside, and I heard Him say, and what kind of members do you want in this church? And I thought, I have just been asked a loaded question. Now, what would you say? And I began to pray. And I said, Lord, send me the halt and the lame and the maimed and the blind, those that no one else loves. Send us AIDS victims, AIDS patients. Send us people that are hurting and need healing. Send us the dregs of society. And send us a couple of bankers and a couple of lawyers. A couple of medical doctors. And people that know how to make money. Well, let me ask you something. Isn't that what we're here to do? What does minister mean? The word minister? Anybody know the Greek word for minister?
Apply.
What?
Is it apply?
Apply? In some way. The word is, we get our word deacon from it. Diakonia. Diakonia. Does anybody know what that word is also translated as?
Servant.
What?
Servant.
Servant. Servant. So if every saint is a diaconia, what are we? We're all servants. And what do servants do?
Serve.
Or could we say help?
Yes.
We help, don't we? I'm here today because I believe God called me to help the body to understand things. That's the reason I have taken this position. Because I believe God called me to do that. Do I have grace to do it? I believe I do. I believe my grace started when I was little. I got in trouble for the grace that I have. Anybody know what part of the grace of being a teacher and a minister is?
No.
That's right, the mouth. Talk. I used to get in a lot of trouble for talking. I used to get pencils poked in the top of my head for talking in school. They wouldn't do that to kids nowadays, but that hurt. But that, you know, I've always had that ability. Now, that ability can be used for God, or that ability can be used for the enemy, can't it? In fact, there is an excessive side to that called loquaciousness. We don't use that word often, but that's what that means. Just over talkative. Just talk, talk, talk. Then there are those, you've met them, they have opinions about everything and not necessarily any knowledge to go along with it, right? Or everything that they tell you, everything they know is because somebody else told them. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for people, according to the Word of God, is that will take that then and study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed. So it says, but now are they many members, verse 20, yet but one body. Verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Just as a reminder now, let's talk about grace again. Grace, there's one side of it that is grace unto us, and that speaks of the favor of God, the born again, filled with the Spirit, healing, all of those things come without earning them, don't they? They're by the grace. But then there's the grace within, and that's God's. And you can look this up in Strong's. This is divine influence within you. Say divine influence. Have you got that in you? That's what we got on the inside. God's Spirit on the inside of us. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost who dwells in you, and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit is influencing everything you do. In fact, I believe your born-again spirit knows everything God knows because your born-again spirit is inhabited by God. You say, well, if it's in there, then why can't I get it out? You can, but you've got to begin to cause your soul man to come in line. Get the renewed mind to go along with it. You understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into, how did the Bible say it? He shall lead you. Jesus said He shall lead you into all truth. He shall show you things to come. Amen. So this is what's going on. God's grace, His divine influence, enabling us to accomplish by God. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Some people, when they've got a gift, they say, well, I've got the gift to preach. Where'd you get it? Oh, I got that from God. So then when you preach, is it you? Well, God's using me. But really, who gets the credit? God gets the credit, doesn't He? We give Him praise. We give Him glory. We give Him honor for the grace or the gift that's in us. Now, let's go on to a different part of it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul. By the way, Paul was very much aware of grace. Have you ever read his epistles? Not only his, but the epistles of Peter and John. How do they start? Grace be unto you. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. He was talking about it. Well, he wasn't talking about the grace to get them saved. These epistles were written to saved people. He was talking about the grace that would enable them to fulfill what God had called them to do. Paul had a real revelation of grace. He had a revelation of God's grace in him. He said, I speak to you by the grace that's given unto me. Sometimes he would make those statements. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We're called. Say, I'm called.
I'm called.
Who are you called by?
Yeshua.
By Yeshua. You're called by God, not man. You're not called because your mother said you should preach. You're not called to do something because you saw somebody else that was doing it. You're called because God said you're to do it. You're called unto that ministry of exhortation that you have, Jonathan, because God called you unto it. Man couldn't call it. See, men go along and we say, well, we're going to lay hands on this man. We're going to ordain him into the ministry. Well, I want you to know something. That doesn't do a bit of good unless God has called that man to that ministry. Do you understand? What we're doing is recognizing, releasing confirmation. Amen? We're not making someone. So, you know, this is one of the problems, you know. People just decide, I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to go to school and I'm going to become a minister. I'm going to take all the courses I need. But I want to, let's go back to this again. Your nose right now is one part of your body, right? Your nose is a part of your body. Well, what happened if your ear kind of peeks around the corner and says, man, I'd like to be a nose. I'd really like to be a nose. Noses are neat. Noses smell. You know what? I'm going to get me some nose makeup and put it all over me. And then I'm going to take a few classes on smelling. Right? Well, it's ludicrous, isn't it?
But you're still an ear.
But you're still an ear, and no amount of training, nothing you can do with your ear is going to make it a nose, right? It won't work. Well, so it is with us. God called us. Remember back in verse 18, it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them. Say every one.
Every
one of them. God sets the members, every one of them in the body, how? As it hath pleased Him. We believe that even goes so far as to the church house that people are called to attend. God sets people in churches. He sets them according to their gifting and the vision, the specific visions that are in those churches. He sets people in. That's the reason I don't go out and try to get other sheep to start coming to this church. I never have tried to do that. I would never do it. In fact, some of you may know about me that I'll try to even go to your pastor if you come from another one. If I feel like, you know, just let him know. I don't want any hard feelings. I want you to know I haven't done this. I'm not the one that's responsible for this. But by the same token, there's sometimes people come here and they don't fit this vision. I'm going to release them without any problem because they need to go where they can be fed. Amen? Amen? That's where they need to be. So, here it says, walk worthy. But it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Why do we have to forbear one another in love? Because we're not all the same. Did you know that's a problem for some people? If you have a certain gift, sometimes you want other people to be like you. You want them to think like you. You want them to have the same emphases that you have. We got to forbear one another. Your gift's different. My ear's gift's different than my nose. My nose doesn't keep saying, hey, look over here. I can smell and you can't. My ear says, that's okay. I can hear, right? Well, so it is with the rest of the body of Christ. We need to do that. Let others fulfill their call and don't emulate. Don't get caught up in that grass is greener thing. It says we're supposed to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body. Say one body.
One.
How many bodies?
One.
There's only one. And there's one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one immersion or baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one, say every one again.
Every
everyone, unto every one of us is given grace. That's what I want to call this today. Everyone is given grace. Everyone is given grace. What's that grace given for? Well, let's follow it on. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The name for grace in Greek is charis. Charis. Charis, if you anglicize it. Who knows what the name for gift is in Greek? What is it? Charismata. But it comes out of the root of grace. The word for gift, charismata, comes out of charis, grace. So we could say then that what God is giving us, we call it a gifting, but often what it really is a grace. He gives us grace to be who we are. I have a certain grace, a talkative grace. I talk, I speak, I relate. But you know, every job I had, whether in the church or out of the church, it involved teaching. I was never a teacher as such, but I taught the job that I did. I was a trainer when I was a postmaster. I went to other postmasters and trained the new ones. When I worked at Montgomery Ward in the warehouse, I was a trainer. You say, what'd you train people to do? You don't want to know. There was a lot of just nonsense we had to do, but you had to take, you know, any job has special ways of doing it. I was a trainer there. So it says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now I'll hurry up with this last one. This is Romans 12 and verse 3. I could take all day talking about this, you know. And that's why I didn't want it too structured, but when you don't go too structured, why sometimes you go far afield. I'm good at rabbit trails. Most of the time I get back though. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me. You remember how I said Paul was aware of the grace that he had? I say things through grace. The grace has given me or enabled me to say this to every man. There it is again. To how many men? To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How highly should you think of yourself? Is it wrong to think highly of yourself? Does the Bible say you shouldn't think highly of yourself? What does it say there now? You shouldn't think higher than you ought to think. I want you to know something that I believe is a problem in the body is that people have a tendency to demean what they have. Without wittingly knowing that they're actually demeaning the gift of God. They're putting down what they have. And I remember a time years ago when I was in the hospital. I'd just been healed of cancer, but I was in the hospital still with some stitches in my leg and stuff like that. And while I was there, I met a man that had throat cancer. Now, I had come far enough that I knew that God was in me. And I knew that His healing power was in me. But I was a little bit cautious about what I did, so I told the man, I'd like to minister to you, but I want you to understand that I'm nobody. And I start, by the time I finished putting me down, if I'd have been him, I wouldn't even have wanted me praying for him. You know? And this is the way we are sometimes. The gift that's in you is mighty through God. The gift that's in you is powerful. The grace that you have is important. And have you noticed everybody is different and has different graces? Different people do different things well. If I try to do what Jonathan does, I can almost pass when I get up and do that, but not like Jonathan does it. Jonathan just got it, you know. He just, when he stands up there and begins to minister and sing, he just got away with it. I can't do that. But I do what I do. And I can do it, and I'm comfortable doing it. In fact, I'd rather do this than other things. Really. I only get to do this really a couple hours a week, but I like to do this. I enjoy doing this. So I want you to know that I think you're supposed to think a certain amount of highness to it, but you're not to think about it as though it's you doing it. That's when you get into problems, isn't it? It's the grace of God that makes me what I am. It's the grace of God that brought me to this place. And then it says, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man. There it is again. How many men? To all people. Did you know I believe grace is given unto people? Many of them, even before they're born again, much of the grace that's given to them, people have a natural ability. Paul had a natural ability as a Pharisee, didn't he? It wasn't always used for good things. He was zealous. He was zealous. He was zealous of whatever he did. Of whatever he did it that way. Joseph Algrary, a good friend of ours that was spirit-filled in this church, but now is a minister to the Muslims in Detroit, came back here. The last message he ministered in this church for us, he said, he was from Iraq. His dad's an Iraqi. He said, if I were a Muslim, I would be a terrorist. That's what he said. I'll never forget him saying that. Joseph said, if I were a Muslim, I would be a terrorist. Thank God Jesus got a hold of him, because I think he'd have been a mean terrorist. But you know what? Now Jesus has him, and you guess what he is? He's a whale of a minister. I called him up the other day and got his answering machine. I'm not kidding you. His announcement on his answering machine preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if the Muslims call him, they get the gospel when they call in. And then he leaves a number for them to talk to him so that they can go further on it. He is zealous for the Lord. Well, that's the way Paul was. God's dealt to all of us the measure of faith. As we have many members in one body and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing. Does your gift differ from mine? Does my gift differ from yours? Yes. He says, then go ahead and operate in whatever your gift is, whether, and then he names a few. Now these have been called the motivational gifts. I personally believe we've put the word gift on too many things, and some of them should be called manifestations, and these probably should just be called graces. A grace to do this. The grace to prophesy. How many people can prophesy? How many believers are allowed to prophesy? The Bible says you all may prophesy one by one. Everyone can prophesy. But how many of you know that if you've been around the body long enough, some people really have a special gift in prophecy? Right? And I'm not talking about being a prophet. I'm talking about a special gift in prophecy. We know it, don't we? Well, that's what he's saying. So prophesy according to your proportion of faith. And the reason for that is, as we are gifted in something, then the level of our faith determines how far we'll go with it. You have the grace, but how much faith are you going to put in it? I find that the first time I prophesied before anybody, I can tell you right now, my knees were shaking, my mouth was dry, I was sweating and having the chills at the same time. You know what I'm talking about? I was just so completely wrapped up in the emotion of the event. And now when I hear the Holy Spirit say something, I can just say it that way. I hear the Holy Spirit saying this. I hear God talking. I hear Him saying this to us today. And it's... But that's because my faith is growing in that area to do it. Yours will too. And I encourage you to prophesy in this church. I encourage you to speak out. Say, I don't have too many words. Speak out what you got. And guess what? As you begin to do it, it'll just start flowing. Same way speaking in tongues is. You speak in tongues and you don't know what you're going to say. You don't know what you're going to say in prophecy either. It just begins to flow. And I believe it's right beneath the surface in all of you. It's what the Bible says. Prophesy according to your proportion of faith. Or ministry. Well, we already talked about ministry is. Ministry is service. Serve according to what God shows you to do. What is He going to show you? I don't know. But I guarantee that He'll show you where your ministry should be used. But He said, let's wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts. You know an exhorter? Any of you know exhorters? I suspect some of you are exhorters. Some of you, I know who you are, but I suspect others of you are. And an exhorter is different than a preacher. An exhorter is great. I like to listen to exhorters. There are some preachers that are exhorters. I always think of Jerry Savelle as being an exhorter. You like Jerry? I like Jerry. Jerry's the kind of guy that, you know, you can kind of feel feeling down and you just listen to him for a while and pretty soon you're saying, yeah, I like that. Yeah, amen. Yeah, he's got you up. He's a cheerleader. Exhorters are cheerleaders. They get people going. They get people up. He that giveth. We talked about a man that had the ability to give. He said, just do it with simplicity. He that ruleth. That's talking about an administrative gift. A gift of administration. And he that shows mercy. Do we need that today? Amen. Healers of broken hearts. People that show mercy. People that care when other people tell them something. People that people can talk to. Amen. You may do other things, but you know, God's using that all the time with you. He says, show mercy with cheerfulness. Well, let's just stand together because I can't go on any longer, even though I would love to. And let's say this together. How many of you have ever, before we say this, how many of you have ever taken a course to discover where you belonged in the body of Christ? Can I see how many have ever? We've given courses here on this. Courses to help you to decide where your gift is. How many of you found them to be extremely profitable? Well, I have to say that the one we gave, I didn't figure did too much for us. It took a lot of time. And you know, sure, you start to see certain things about, you know, the way you are and stuff like that. But I want to tell you something. You'll know when you begin to move in it whether you fit or not. You just begin to know. And I believe as we teach through this, and you need to make up your mind, I'm not going to miss these. I want to find out that we're going to discover. We're going to discover where we belong and how we fit. How many believe there could be more people working in this church? Amen. When I say in this church, I don't mean in this building. I don't mean in the services. I mean in this body. More people working, more people doing things. There could be more people working within the building too. More people doing things, more people knowing. I don't like to go along to people and say, you know, I'd sure like for you to fill in over here. Sometimes it's necessary, but I'll tell you what. A lot of times then somebody will get comfortable doing that, and that's not really where God called them. I want you to be called where God's called you to do. So if you see something and you feel like you need to be working in that area, I want you to let us know. Let us know. Amen? Say this with me. Say, I am discovering the power of grace within me. I believe that God's grace is sufficient.
I believe that God's grace is sufficient.
Sufficient to do.
Exceeding.
Abundantly.
Above all.
That I ask or think.
According to His power. That works in me. I am.
Discovering.
The grace of God.
That is in me.
I will be obedient.
And walk.
In that grace.
In Jesus' name.
Lift
your hands and receive the blessing today. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavaleka v'kaneka. Yis Adonai panavaleka v'yasem l'cha shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua.